TV set all night
and every night.
Why go into the outside world at all?
It's such a fright.
We got nothing better to do.
Hello and welcome to TV Times 3, episode number 8, our fall TV status report. I'm Ray from ramblingsofatvwhore.com.
I'm Jason the TVholic from tvholic.com.
And I'm Amory from mytakeontv.com.
Hi, guys.
Hello.
We're back after our little break. Amory and I were in Boston together. Thinking of you, Jason. As we played Cranium.
As we played Cranium.
We were thinking of you. We were reading your Twitters, keeping up with you on Twitter.
Yes.
All right, so I have to be honest, as I was just telling these guys, I was lazy this week and didn't go through. It's partly because we didn't have a podcast last week, so like the thought of trying to figure out what news we hadn't covered was a little overwhelming. Plus, I just got back from vacation, so I've been busy at work. So was there any big news items you guys wanted to bring up?
The main things are that, well, I guess it's not official, but it's being reported that My Own Worst Enemy and Lipstick Jungle have both been canceled off of NBC. And then probably the best news of the week was that Privilege officially got 5 more full episodes to add to their 13. So the season will at least be 18 episodes as of now.
Which is excellent.
They're announcing that CBS has picked up Gary Unmarried for the rest of the season. Although it's 7 episodes and 2 scripts, so it's sort of 9 new episodes, but possibly only 7. And then they're also ordered a few more episodes. I'm forgetting the number of Worst Week.
Oh, God.
But just
that right there sums up my feelings.
It was.
They don't have a whole bunch of mid-season, do they? Comedy-wise, anyway.
I feel like they don't.
CBS. I haven't heard a lot about CBS and comedy, so I can't even think of any dramas that they have mid-season. I'm sure they do, but I can't think of them right now.
Harper's Island, but it sounds like they moved that too.
I think that's better in the summer, anyway. If you ask my opinion. Yeah.
Surprised they didn't call you up and ask your opinion.
I know. Someday, CBS, you got my number. Somebody does there.
You can leave it on the podcast contact number.
Exactly.
Just call us next there.
Just call us. We'll give you our opinion. Like
I'm
we
sure
are
they're.
Right now.
I'm sure they're listening like everybody else.
Yes, exactly.
Absolutely.
best listening audience in podcasting.
We do have the best listening audience in podcasting.
It's 3 additional episodes. I just saw it. It's 3 different additional episodes for Worst Week, and they're saying that that'll probably be it because they're probably going to bring back Rules of Engagement to play at mid-season, which will take that time slot after 2.5 Men.
They picked up Rules of Engagement again? I thought they got rid of that.
Nope.
Huh.
David Spade lives on.
I actually don't dislike that show, but
I've never watched it. I like Patrick Warburton, so maybe I'll give it a chance. Maybe I will open my cold heart to a new show.
Okay. Good luck with that
new
show.
Rules of Engagement is sort of similar to me as like 2.5 Men. It's nothing groundbreaking, but I always find a few things that are funny in it. So
exactly. Like it's nothing great, but it's not bad either. So it gives, and it usually gives them decent ratings. So I can understand why they bring it, but.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really have anything else to add. Those cancellation. I don't really have a lot of thoughts about those cancellations. I thought Lipstick Jungle was a given pretty much once they moved it to Fridays. And I'm not really surprised about My Own Worst Enemy, to be honest. I don't know that it's quality wise. I wasn't watching it and I didn't know a lot of people who were watching it. So.
And it was quite expensive, you can imagine. So.
Just having him, just Christian Slater being on it. Here's the real question. Will Christian Slater ever do TV again?
I don't think so.
Or will Jason, I don't know how to say his last name,
Smilovich, ever work with NBC again?
I don't know. Next year, he'll have another pilot.
For NBC, and they'll cancel it in like 6 episodes. Jason, go to a different channel. Maybe they'll like you there.
Maybe you should just make better shows.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. That it hasn't exactly worked for Brian Fuller.
No, it hasn't.
He's been all over the networks and even...
Brian Fuller does not have mainstream shows, though. So I would say My Own Worst Enemy was more mainstream than Brian Fuller's, any of Brian Fuller's shows. All right. Is that all? Amory, did you have anything news-wise?
No.
No. And then, so the only other thing I have is that I have to bring up, we got a voicemail this past 2 weeks while we were on break from Scooter McGavin from Scooter McGavin's Ninth Green, which is scooterksublogspot.com. And you'll get to hear more of his message later because he addressed our topic of the week from last episode. Scooter was very offended by what we had to say about Sheldon's wardrobe last time. Here we go. I'll let you listen to what he had to say.
Deeply offended at your comments characterizing Sheldon's clothing choice as a goofy combination. You know, I totally rock the khaki pants along with the long sleeve shirt, with the short sleeve shirt over it. In fact, I believe that's my current Facebook profile picture. So, little offended that you made fun of my clothing choice of everyday look.
My response to that, Scooter, is that you shouldn't be offended because I was not making fun of Sheldon. If it was me who made the comment or if it was Jason, whoever made the comment, we weren't making fun of Sheldon. Obviously, we love Sheldon. And I actually wear not similar outfits because then I would be a guy. I wear similar in the girl sense outfits to what Sheldon wears. So I wasn't really making fun of it. It's just that he does wear kind of goofy combinations. So it's not a bad thing. It's just the truth. So anyway, so I had to defend myself and all of us because I don't think we're making fun of Sheldon. So I don't think you should be offended, Scooter. And we're glad that you dressed like him. all right. So if there's nothing else, we will go to a little break and then we'll be back with our topic of the week.
Need an office network setup? Having trouble configuring your HDTV? Want to upgrade your computer memory but don't know how? Never fear, the Nerd Herd is here.
Where should we go to dinner?
What about Bertucci's? I hear their pasta's good.
Sounds good.
When you're in the mood for good pasta, Bertucci's is your best bet.
We're back with our topic of the week, which is our fall TV status report. My idea just was to kind of cover what we are still watching from our fall TV schedule and what we have given up on and why. Maybe sometimes it was because it got canceled. Maybe sometimes it was because we got tired of watching it. I'm including both new TV, by the way, and old TV in this because I gave up some old TV shows as well.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not old, but previous TV shows that I'd been watching, not just some of the newest stuff. So anybody want to go first with something that they gave up or how much of your schedule has changed?
I'll start because for weeks now, not all I've been talking about, but I've been mentioning that I gave up on Sarah Connor after the premiere and I had expected to watch it and it's gone. It's off my list. It's not even something I think about. I kind of glaze over when people talk about it, which is a shame because then people have to snap me back into the conversation. But yeah, that's one of my big ones.
I have to admit that I also gave up on Sarah Connor.
Oh.
And I actually have, I know people who work on the show, so I get grief all the time about giving up on it, by the way. But it just was too much. Monday at 8 o'clock, it was too much. And I just couldn't do it. And it's a serious kind of show. Like, I feel like I have to pay attention to, that sounds bad, but that's what I mean. I have to, like, really pay attention. Like, it's kind of a serious and intelligent type of show, so... I feel like I have to really pay attention to it. And I just had too many things going on Monday nights.
Yeah.
And I guess that's the only reason it's off my schedule. That and my DVR fills up and I can't, like, I just don't have enough room to keep it around forever. So, but I agree. That's one of the ones that fell off my schedule, even though we both know that Jason is still watching it because he talks about it every week. I don't mean that in a bad way, by the way. I just meant Jason's the one carrying the load on Sarah Connor.
Carrying the Terminator torch.
Exactly. Which is a good thing. Other people are really liking it. So, and I've heard great things about it since it, like, since I gave up on it. Mm-hmm. Everybody's been raving about it. So even Joss Whedon raved about it online at whedonesque.com. So I feel like I should be watching because my master is watching and I'm not watching.
Joss Whedon is your master. I love that.
He is.
You know what kills me that I had to give up on this season? And because it's in like the sixth season, or maybe it's the eighth season, whatever. Without a Trace. I'm sure I'll catch up on it. It'll be on reruns. They basically rerun the new episodes on TNT very quickly. But it kind of pains me that I'm not watching it.
Why aren't you watching it?
It's on Tuesday nights. I go to Quizzo on Tuesdays, and there's only so much time for me to watch something. With all that's on Tuesday, I mean, I knew it's on at 10, so I could be recording it. And I think I still do record it. I just don't have the room in my TiVo to keep it there.
Without a Trace is one of those that I'm still recording, but I've been recording them onto my computer DVR software, using as a second DVR. And I actually sort of gave up on it last season, but I still have all the episodes from the last season, and I've continued recording it, keep thinking that I'm going to catch up sometime. But I'm starting to get so far behind now that I need to get a new hard drive to continue to keep the episodes and to record new stuff here pretty soon. And that same thing happened with the Cold Case for me as well. I like Cold Case, but I've gotten behind and continued to record them and haven't gotten rid of them yet.
Yeah. I Cold Case is another show that I just kind of watch in reruns, so I don't need to watch it every week. But I do. I used last season I watched it every Sunday, and this year I'm just not.
What are new shows out? I was trying to think of some new ones out that I've given up on. I have a list of ones that I didn't watch at all. I watched the first episode, maybe. My Own Worst Enemy, which if I hadn't given up on it, I sure would now that it's been canceled. But I really didn't watch it all. I'm I taped the first episode, but I never really got around to watching the full thing.
Mm-hmm.
Another show that suffered for being on Monday nights, because I had too many other things I needed to catch up on by 10 o'clock that I just didn't ever give it a chance. So 11th Hour was a show that I watched the first episode, didn't love it as much as you guys loved it, and never had a desire to go back to it. Even though I hear good things about it, it's just not my type of show. And Life on Mars would fall into that same category. I just have no desire to watch it. Those were all on my schedule originally.
I had Gary Unmarried on my schedule because I did like the pilot, compared to other comedies that premiered this year.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't even think I watched the second episode.
Yeah, I haven't watched any since the first one. I liked it, but I figured it was always one that if I wanted to watch it, I could catch it while everything else was in
reruns. Yeah.
Because it doesn't bother me to come into a comedy show in the middle.
Me either, because they don't carry over as much.
How I Met Your Mother does, and The Office does, but other shows I don't really.
Yeah, well, those are the shows I'm actually staying on, I'm still watching, so maybe I just mean shows that I'm, the comedies I'm not watching, I don't need to worry about.
Speaking of a comedy, I haven't given up on this one yet, but it is on my short list, Samantha Who. I'm just not finding it as funny this season.
You mentioned that earlier, and I've been trying to notice the difference, but I don't know if I do.
Yeah, I don't see a difference on that. It's still, to me, it's just as funny. Mostly it's from her old sort of friend from high school or whatever.
It's not tricky, but you know what I'm talking about.
It's she's funny. She gets all the good lines, but I don't know. I think it's been the same, at least the same quality as most of last season.
Yeah, I just don't agree. But again, I have weird relationship with comedies anyway. So, but I'm glad that everybody else is like. I mean, it's gotten more episodes and everything, so obviously people are really liking it.
Mm-hmm,
I haven't heard that its ratings have dropped.
No, I think it's the only one that's kind of been consistent. But
something's just off for me. I don't know what it is though. All right, let's other shows. The X List was one of mine that I probably would still be watching if they hadn't canceled it.
I probably would be too.
Isn't that sad? I wasn't particularly disliking it, but I wasn't particularly liking it either. But I was having a hard time not. I guess because I wanted to know what happened.
But now we found out what happened. But that's not really on the progress report, so I don't know if I want to bring that up.
That's true. Well, my thing with that is that I could have sworn I read something recently that was Elizabeth Reeser. It was something to do with Twilight. Somebody was interviewing her for Twilight, but asked her about the X List. And she said that they were filming a conclusion.
Really?
That story we read today was Diane Ruggiero giving what she wanted to happen. is what and I read today. What she had planned to have happen, actually. But what I read in Elizabeth, and I don't know what, if the answer is the same thing, it might be the same answer. You know what I mean? But what I read was that Elizabeth Reeser said that they were filming a conclusion to it, which would be why the article said that they were still in production. Like, theoretically, they're still in production, or not theoretically, they are actually in production. Even though they're not actually going to air anything, I don't think. She was basically saying, like, they're giving an ending so that if you buy the DVDs, you could have an ending to the show. But I don't know if that's true or not. It's just what she was said. And I don't know if they would go with what Diane Ruggiero said she wanted to happen or not. Anyway, the status report on that show is that it's gone.
Right.
and that's why it's off the list. It's exactly. No longer on the air.
Did anybody continue to watch Caruso? Are you still watching it, Jason?
No. Is that still on?
Yeah, it's still on. I still watch it. It hasn't continued to be as good as it was sort of set up to be in the first, mm-hmm. In the first 2 hours. But I've continued watching it partially because there's nothing else on Friday night, but other than Numbers, that interests me all that much. But it hasn't. It still has a. It's still good to watch just for the great scenery and stuff like that. But the episodes and the action and stuff like that haven't held the same excitement level or whatever as the first episode did. But NBC filmed, it as a 13, sort of as a 13 episode miniseries. So it's pretty much going to probably, they're probably going to air it till it's done.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't.
What else? What else have I given up on? I feel like there's a lot more.
I gave up on True Blood after 3 episodes.
But the only reason I actually gave up on that is because I don't have HBO.
That's the only reason?
Yeah, because I think I'd still be watching it. Like, I dog sat at someone's house the other day. Not the other day, like 2 weeks ago. And she had HBO and she had them all TiVo'd or whatever. And I did catch up to the 6th episode and it got a lot better. But I haven't been able to see since that.
Well, I've said this before that I read the book, or I couldn't even read the book because I don't like the characters, and it remains true that I just don't like the characters. And everything, all the comments I see about the show seem to support that idea that a lot of people like care more about the supporting characters than they do the main characters.
Oh yeah,
yeah. So I have not returned to it. Don't plan to.
Yeah, I just couldn't get into it. There wasn't anything that hooked me that it was like, I want to continue to see where this goes.
Mm-hmm.
And that was true after the first episode, but I tried to give it 3, and by the 3rd episode, there still wasn't anything that made me want to continue. So that one dropped off.
I was trying to think of what I will say that, I did drop Prison Break. I haven't been watching. And that was more my DVR's fault because it it fell off my DVR because my DVR got an update. And so I missed like one episode in there. And I'm kind of anal about seeing things in order. And then I didn't catch up, even though it is on Hulu. You can catch up on Hulu. But I didn't catch up. And so I've kind of like left it off my list. I probably will catch up once everything else kind of slows down. I'll probably catch up on it. And then Brothers and Sisters and Desperate Housewives are on my short list because they're just not holding my attention this season. I don't. Before we continue, I'm going to read. We had some listener emails. I guess you could theoretically be reading. And I wanted to read theirs and maybe they will spark some conversation with us. Maybe.
Sure.
I'm going to start with Ala. I think that's how you say her name. Ala wrote and said that that she just discovered our show and loved that we covered the whole week in television. That's not relevant, but I wanted to say it anyway.
that's only relevant to the next segment.
Yes. All the shows that Ala is continuing to watch very happily, she says, True Blood, which we just mentioned. Easy Money. Ala, I'm very sorry that you're watching Easy Money because not going to be around much longer. Raising the Bar, which will be around happily for another season. Ala, several shows on your list here are no longer here. My Own Worst Enemy, which is getting canceled. Life on Mars, I think NBC is actually keeping that around.
think it's NBC, huh? Are they going to try and steal it?
What's it on, ABC?
ABC.
I think the people behind ABC. No, I meant ABC. I think the people behind this, like the execs behind the show, actually really like it. They've kept it around even when it was having troubles before, so I suspect it will stay until the end of the season. And then her the last one on her list that she's happily watching is the X List, which it's not there anymore. Sorry, Allah. All right, so we'll go on to the show she's given up on, The Mentalist, which I don't think any of us agree with that, huh?
Nope.
Nope.
We all really like that. Even my friends like it. Fringe, she stopped watching after the third or fourth because they all seemed the same. I don't agree with that. I mean, I actually kind of agree that they all have had a similar plot, but it's a week to week. It's a procedural, so they would. She really doesn't like Anna Torv, though. Torv? I don't know. Thanks. 11th Hour. I'm sensing a theme here, Allah, that you don't like procedurals. She gave up on Valentine, which is good because it isn't going to last. Are they even still airing that stuff? Easy Money and Valentine?
They're airing reruns of the shows that they had, you know, already aired, which for me, I'd say if they're going to do that, why not just run the episodes that you already had filmed?
I know, but maybe they don't have new stuff to film after. I guess they could have just run reruns then, huh? I don't know.
Yeah,
silly.
I don't know. They're doing like half, you know, the rerun's doing like half what the original did. So that seems you might as well have put out a new episode if you still had, you know, three or four of them.
True. Okay. And then she just said she didn't watch anything on the CW because she couldn't get through the pilot for most of them. Allah, you should be watching Privileged. I just have to tell you that right now. All right, so I'm going to go on to our second email, which was from Ekru. I'm sorry if I'm saying your name wrong. I'm really bad at pronouncing names. But thank you for listening because you're a new listener. okay, so she wanted to give us her fall season update. She said she's officially turned off of Boston Legal for good because of a bad Hillary Clinton joke they made 5 minutes into the show.
Ekru/Ekru, you only have like 10 more episodes. Get back in.
I don't even think you have 10. It ends in December.
Yeah, get back in. You got time.
I agree with that. You should return just for the end.
The last episode of ER.
The last few episodes of Boston Legal I thought have been pretty good. They were kind of really political at the very beginning. I will agree with that. And I was kind of not turned off, but I wasn't. And I was actually being very, very political this fall. And I still was like, this is too much. But they've actually been pretty good the last few episodes because I had kind of tuned it out myself. I was still watching, but I wasn't watching closely. But I've gotten back into it. So I think you should return for the last few episodes, Ekru. You've made it almost all the way through the season, the series. How can you give up now? All right. Sorry. she is still watching Fringe, but she doesn't think it's all that great. She does like Pacey and DeAnthor. Is that from another show?
I don't know. What's his name on The Wire? I don't even remember.
Maybe that's what it's from. Sorry, I don't watch The Wire. Didn't watch The Wire. Okay, moving on. Private Practice was another one on my list that's on a short list. Private Practice and Grey's are both on their last legs for her. She said, in Grey's, you could literally get rid of everybody but Christine and Bailey, and I'd be happy right now. That's sad. She wants the chief gone. She wants George to serve a purpose. She wants Chandra to figure out what she wants from Izzy and Karev. And she's just hating Derek right now. I think that's actually a pretty common
feeling. That's a very good write-up on the show there.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I was speaking of Derek in particular. I know a lot of people who are hating on Derek right now. She says she has no idea why she's still watching the show at this point. She sort of watched Testies for a few times. I can't agree with you that it's not completely terrible, Ekru. I'm sorry. Because it's completely terrible in my eyes. Maybe the episodes got better, but I watched some of another episode and it's just still just as bad. I will agree that it's not worthy to follow Sunny. That's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
What were you going to say, Jason? Did you watch more?
I couldn't even give it three. I couldn't even give it give Testies three. That was the first one was too bad.
Yeah, it wasn't so hot. And then her otherwise happy.
Oh, Denethor. Wait, I looked it up. Denethor is John Noble. He's in Lord of the Rings.
Okay, thank you.
Anyway,
I should have known that, Denethor. I'm sorry. I should have known that. I feel bad now. I'm a bad Lord of the Rings fan right now. All right, whatever. I don't feel that bad about it, obviously. she is otherwise happy with her other shows: Dexter, Big Bang, How I Met Your Mother, House, Pushing Daisies, The Office, Sunny in Philly. And then she mentions a whole bunch of different Brit and Aussie TV that she watches. And she, for the record, suggests we check out... If you haven't seen, I suggest checking out particularly the panel shows, 8 out of 10 Cats. All right. What is that about? I might have to look this up.
I have no idea.
I've watched, for the record, A Crew. I've watched Nevermind the Buzzards. I love it. Spicks and Specks. Have I Got the News for You? Mock the Week. What's Mock the Week? Is that like a weekly? You guys don't know, huh?
July. I have no idea.
And some other stuff she watches. But okay. And then she's always pushing hard amongst her friends for Pushing Daisies because she can't bear to lose another Brian Fuller show so early in its life. We hear you, sister. Or brother. I don't know if you're a guy or a girl, but I hear you.
But we've been calling you she the whole time, so I apologize.
If you're a guy, please, you can write me and yell at me. I don't care. I have a guy's name, so I shouldn't do that, should I? But anyway, I hear you on Pushing Daisies. Unfortunately, the news doesn't seem good. Sadly. Thank you guys, E-Crew and Ala, for writing in. We appreciate it. We hope other people will either write in or give us a call. You can try using Snapvine, by the way. There's a link on our website in the sidebar. If you can't call in because you're from another country, you can use Snapvine and it will actually let you record from your computer. So, anything else on your list? Any other big ones that you have that you have either given up or you are going to give up on? I guess we didn't talk about any that we're still watching and loving.
Dirty Sexy Money's gone. I'm done.
Oh, wasn't even on my list.
I was trying to think, and one other show that I didn't really give up on it, I just, it sort of got away from me, was The Cleaner.
Yeah, that's how I was too. I had to take it off my TiVo.
I just, I was watching it, and then it was also on demand. Me with Mad Men as well, both those shows, and I was watching them, and then all of a sudden, I waited too long, and you know they only keep like the last so many episodes, and after a certain period of time, episodes started dropping off the list, and so sort of like you mentioned earlier, I wasn't going to pick up with you know an episode or two past where I had left off, so. So Mad Men and The Cleaner were two that dropped off, but only because I didn't get to watching them before they started falling off the on-demand list.
People are totally cussing you out right now, Jason. Well, not cussing you, but shaking their heads at you for Mad Men. I'm not, because I don't
watch it. I caught up on Mad Men in Boston.
Amory did. I watched the season finale of Mad Men, even though I don't watch it.
Well, that's what's funny is I caught up. With the end of last season, they had, you know, they had enough of the episodes out on demand, and so I caught up with the end of the first season, explicitly so I could watch. And then for some reason, I kept putting it off, getting into it. While it's really good, and it's a really good show to watch. It's still not one that I draw a whole lot of. But then, you know, you mentioned like The Wire, not having seen that. So there's shows like that that for some reason I never got to, or in this case. So, yeah. So, you know, send your emails and comments my way on why I shouldn't have
given up,
let
on
that
this.
One drop.
Yeah, I don't watch it at all. Okay. So I think then that kind of sums it up. We'd kind of talked about it at the beginning, giving our thoughts on how each network is doing. Do we have thoughts on how each network is doing? I have to be honest, when I watch, I don't really think about the network, like obviously, because I was trying to give Life on Mars to NBC, which probably NBC would be happy if they had Life on Mars, no doubt, because their shows are doing bad.
So. They could use... They could use just about anything right about now.
Exactly.
Well, more so, like, what do you think of how the fall season has gone so far? Do you think it's been...
the overall season.
Yeah. Do you think it's been good, bad?
Good? It's tricky. I would say it's actually... For me personally, it's been pretty weak.
Yeah. I think it's been kind of lackluster.
Exactly. And I have to say that some of this feels like it's because of me. Like, I have other things going on. I'm really kind of busy right now with work and stuff. And so I have a lot of other distractions that maybe it wouldn't have been so lackluster if I didn't. But I didn't have any shows beyond the shows that I already knew I loved that, and beyond like a couple standouts, like Privileged, and I really like Privileged and Fringe. Beyond those two, I haven't had a whole lot of new shows that are really like calling my attention. So I think it's been kind of, you know, there are more shows on my list that I've given up. So I think it should not been so great this season.
Well, I kind of agree with that, that it's been a bit of a lackluster season because especially, well, new show wise, there's not a lot of the new shows that if they disappeared, that while I watch them every week and enjoy some of them, there's not a lot of, I'd be like all that disappointed, you know, to see them go. I mean, there's only like a handful of shows that I, you know, like Privileged or for me, like The Mentalist and a couple shows like that. Like I was watching My Own Worst Enemy and I liked it, but I'm not, you know, up in arms and overly disappointed that it's gone.
Yeah, I'd agree. Amory?
Yeah, I just overall kind of think it's been blah. Last year, I was so excited about everything and like the new shows, and maybe it was because I was just getting into like the TV game or whatever, but this year it's just kind of been like, oh, well, oh, that show's going. I was going to watch it, but I don't really care. Like, I don't care.
I think, as many other people have said already, that the mid-season has more to offer right now than the fall season did. So I'm more excited.
I'm like super excited about Lost.
Not super excited about Lost. I'm excited about Dollhouse, and I'm excited about Cupid. I guess I'm just excited to see some of my people back on TV. My people. Yeah. My showrunners back. They're my people.
Oh, yeah, my people. Cupid. Oh, Rob Thomas. Yay. He's my people.
All right. Well, we need to wrap up, so we will leave you with those closing thoughts about our people in mid-season. All right, we're going to go to a little break, and we'll be right back with our primetime wrap-up. Time for a reality break. Hi, everybody. This is your short little reality break where we talk about our reality television with me and Amory. Amory and I.
Hello.
What's correct? Amory and I? I think Amory.
Me and Amory, actually. It's me and Amory. Because if you were to take and Amory out, it would be with me.
Oh. With me and Amory.
There you go.
Good to know. All right. So, yeah, I'm sure you all care about our grammar lesson. So this week on our reality break, we watched The Amazing Race.
Yes, we did.
And we watched it together.
Yay! Not like we were on the phone watching it. We were actually watching it in the same room.
Exactly. We were cursing out Kelly and Christy together.
Yes, we were.
And laughing at them. And encouraging Ken and Tina to hurry up and beat them.
Exactly.
Which is all I really have to say about it, is that I was so happy that... You know, and I don't really like Ken and Tina, as we've already discussed. So it's a little surprising to me that I was cheering Ken and Tina on, because I just did not want Kelly and Christy to get any further.
Yeah, no, I'm so glad they're gone. So glad.
They're just dumbasses. There's no other way to put it. The fact that they kept going back and forth with the clue and never rereading after seeing that they'd screwed up. Like, clearly, if five other teams, it wasn't five, I'm exaggerating, but if several other teams have passed you, weren't they like the second team there or the third team there?
Yeah, they were there very quickly.
And all the other teams kept passing them, and the fact that they didn't clue in, like my little
pun. And they kept saying things to each other like, did we read it wrong? Should we read it again? And then they didn't read it again.
Because they're idiots. Oh, I know what the other part I wanted to talk about was the guy, the newspaper guy who was so funny.
Oh, when he was throwing it down or giving a thumbs up, he was awesome.
He was so great. And when he would, like, push him away, or they would be trying to watch and he'd, like, get mad at them and, like, not do anything until they stopped watching. So funny.
Exactly. So awesome.
He's so fun.
I love sassy characters like that.
I know. What else was there? I guess we watched it in person and we made a little bet, as Amory just reminded me. Before it started, we made a bet, our typical bet about who would win. And Amory went with Nick and Star this week. She's obviously still going with the front runner since they won last week. Even though
they're also my favorite team, yes.
They are your favorite team, but is that why you went with them?
Yes.
All right.
Well, I mean, they're doing well, and they're my favorite team, so it counts.
Okay. And I, of course, picked Tony and Dallas, and they were neck and neck. And I thought, for a minute there, I thought I was going to win. Alas, the editors fooled me, and Nick and Star pulled it out. I'm guessing they were pretty close to each other, though. When we see the times this week, they're probably going to be, like, a few minutes off, if that.
Yeah. Yeah, they couldn't have been that far behind.
They were right there with them.
I was definitely rooting for your team, though. Like, I was really happy that they were doing well.
I know. I was hoping that they would finally come in first so that they'd win something. Although I think they wouldn't have wanted to win whatever they won this week. I can't remember what it was, but was it a trip? Whatever. Do you remember when the Amazing Race didn't win every week?
Yeah, it was like, oh, you're lucky if you got one win. And
exactly.
Like, and it's like, oh, guess what? This is a lucky winning hand or whatever.
Exactly. Now you win every week. Whatever. I remember the other thing I wanted to talk about was the guy at the mat who kept watering his plant.
And he kept running away and then coming back. That guy was awesome.
And what was funny to me is, you know that the producers know that somebody's coming in and that they have everybody ready at the mat. You know what I mean? It's not like they're, like, don't know that they're coming at all and they come around the corner. So they knew that they were coming and the guy still was obviously not caring. I'm going to water my plants.
He's like, I'll be there in a minute. Bye.
So very funny. So I guess that's the Amazing Race. We have to do our bets for next week, even though this time we won't be able to see each other to buy anybody anything.
We'll be there in spirit. I'm going with my favorite team still. That's Nick and Star.
Nick and Star. Very good. And I am going with my team, Tony and Dallas, because I'm hoping...
Have they won? Your guys haven't won yet, right?
No, they've not come in first yet. So I'm hoping this week... I just actually want them to stay up there at the beginning so that... Or at the front, so that they can be in the final.
Yeah.
That's all I really care about. And then you watched Survivor.
I did watch Survivor.
Uh-huh.
I'm amazed at how stupid people are this season. Not that I'm amazed, because there's always really stupid people.
Right.
But there have been so many, like, blindsiding vote outs this year that it's just like, how do these people not know what's going on?
I haven't watched it, but I saw several people make that comment this week, though, about
Marcus looked good when he came back. Because you know how when they're on the jury, they're all cleaned up and beautiful?
Uh-huh.
He looked good.
Your eye candy.
That's my eye candy.
And then our other reality show is Top Chef. However, I watched it, but didn't pay close attention to this week's, and Amory didn't watch it yet. So next week we'll be talking about Top Chef.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll rerun this weekend.
I'm sure it reruns a million times, and then it reruns again before it starts next week. Anyway, so next week we'll talk about Top Chef, and I think that wraps up our reality talk.
That wraps it up.
We'll be back next week with some more reality.
All right, welcome back from the break. It's time for our primetime wrap-up for the week, and we're just going to go through, talk about what we watched last week and what we loved, and have some good conversation. So I know that this Sunday there wasn't much on. I watched everything, didn't care much for anything I really watched except The Amazing Race, but we'll talk about that in reality. And I just want to say that I think Brothers and Sisters is kind of boring.
And I second that.
That's really all I have for Sunday.
Yeah, I second that. That's all I got too. Well, I feel the same way about Desperate Housewives. It's not really doing much for me. And that's it for me.
Yeah, my Sunday's getting kind of boring. And so I think that it kind of leads us into Monday, which there's a million things on. And we're watching a million things. And I know, Jason, you mentioned Big Bang Theories. You're watching that, right? We're all watching that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're all watching that. And
now that we got that covered.
Yeah. No, the thing I wanted to mention about Big Bang Theory is just that, like, in the last episode this week, it was, like, Sheldon versus Penny, or Penny versus Sheldon. And so far this season... I've really liked the episodes where there's some sort of interaction between Sheldon and Penny sort of going at it. They've been able to play, the writers have been able to do a really good job, and they play really well off of each other.
Yeah, and I think that has to do with the fact that they're like best friends in real life, which makes them more believable to me as like, I don't know, it's nice to see them interact. Anything else on Monday that anybody really wants to touch on? I know that, you know, we all watch a bunch of stuff, but there's nothing is standing out to me this week that needs to be talked about. If you watched it, you watched it. I mean, if anybody listening wants to call in, I mean, it's not live, so it's not like it's going to help you now, but mention what you watched and what you were thinking of, you know, we can talk about it next week, but...
Yeah, you can do it after the fact. I mean, I'll just say that I really loved Chuck this week. I don't want to talk about it because I've seen multiple weeks ahead of time, so I'm afraid to say anything because I know what's coming. And I don't want to spoil anything. And that Heroes, I've seen a lot of people bitch about Heroes. I liked this week, but I think that was mostly because of the people they let do the work this week are really good actors. but it's interesting. I mean, a lot of people are still bitching about it. So I think Heroes is, I don't know if it can ever recover.
Yeah, that's kind of how everybody thinks I think about Heroes. They're all kind of on their way out. That's it for Monday, really. Tuesday, also lots of stuff going on TV. It's like I can't get a break. I can't sleep because I'm watching too much TV. But I know that there's a show on Tuesday that we all wanted to bring up. And surprise, guys, it's not Privilege this time. We still love it. We still want to mention it. We're going to talk about it till the end of time. But I know that we wanted to talk about Fringe.
I'll let you guys go first because you guys had the things you wanted to say. I'm sure
I'll say mine first. And it's just that I don't care if I'm spoiled because by the time I watch it, I won't remember this conversation. But I mean, no offense. I just don't have the mental capacity to hold everything in. I don't know when I'm going to get back to Fringe, though, because I've missed four episodes. I have them on the TiVo, but I haven't watched them, and I don't know when I'm going to.
Why aren't you watching them?
I don't know. I can't get myself to do it. Maybe tomorrow when I have some downtime, I can't bring myself to.
You're not going to watch them tomorrow.
I'm going to try and promise myself that I will. But I know Jason and you guys have both been watching, and Jason wanted to bring up something about the episode, this past episode, right?
Yeah, this last week, the way it ended, and I'll just quickly read off the quote, which is Broyles talking to Olivia. He says, "You have a problem, Agent Dunham. You're not easily satisfied. You want everything, and you want it now. In your mind, somehow, a small victory is no victory. What you did was save a man's life, but that does nothing for you. I would tell you to snap the hell out of it, to stop whining about what you can't know, can't control, can't change. I would tell you to get some sleep while you can, because tomorrow we'll do this all over again, and guess what? You'll have a million new answers and a million and one new questions. I would tell you those things, but I won't, because your dissatisfaction is what makes you so damn good. Someone I'm proud to say I work with." To which, you know, she says thank you or whatever. But it was sort of, you know, like J.J. Abrams and the gang. It seemed like he was talking, he might as well have been looking directly into the screen instead of at Olivia when he gave that speech. It was like he was talking to the audience, like, you want too many answers too quickly. And for me, I say, it says that you get a million answers and then and you get a million and one new questions. And I say, I don't think we've gotten the million answers. We just keep getting the more questions. You get a few, but I don't know. But on the other hand, it also he's also saying that he really likes his audience, I think, in that statement too, because, you know, saying that he's proud to say that he works with it, if you say that that's actually being said to the audience, then he's saying that he really likes his audience, but he's also saying you need to leave this always wanting it right now. For the most part, I don't mind shows that don't necessarily give you all the answers, because once you get all the answers, the show's over. And when it's a good show, I want to continue, you know, watching it and enjoying it. But sometimes it feels like you're not getting anything but new questions, and the little, you know, the small victory starts to become almost no victory, I guess, in a way, because you need like a medium victory from time to time to keep me satisfied, I guess. But not with some of the other shows in the past. It just seems to be with this one so far that it hasn't, that this continually questions and all that stuff hasn't really grabbed me.
Maybe, like, that's why I'm not watching, because the questions haven't grabbed me. Like, I don't know.
First, I'm going to say that by the time he must have written this episode, he wasn't getting, like, the fan response for Fringe must have just been coming in. So I don't know that he's talking about Fringe only in the episode. I think he might also be speaking to, in general, TV audiences who demand questions right away, like who demand questions, who get frustrated. Mm-hmm. So the
I think he may be talking in general to his audience, to people that have watched a lot of his shows.
Right. So I don't think it necessarily applies directly to this show in the sense that we're getting a lot. Like, I don't feel like we have that many questions. And I mean, we don't have a lot of answers at the moment, I guess. But we're only so many episodes in. I just don't feel like we should have a lot of answers yet. It doesn't bother me with this show yet. It took a long time for it to bother me with Lost. Like, it took probably a season and a half for it to bother me with Lost. So, like, I don't have that problem yet here. It's possible that he was talking like that, and it's possible that people who are watching this show are used to JJ shows and they feel like, you know, like it just seems like the same thing, like they're not going to get a lot of answers. But, I mean, it may be more that people aren't as engaged in what the questions are, because I would say that it's true that they have not done a really great job at setting up, like, the real... The episodes I find interesting are the episodes that are about, like, the greater mystery.
Mm-hmm.
The other episodes haven't caught my attention as much, because they don't, like, they're just a procedural, and there's not much exciting to their procedurals either. I think, you know, like, either, my beautiful language, either. I think that the people writing this show are the people who usually write a serial type of show, and they know how to really do the arc and those type of things. I don't know that they really know how to do a procedural, or, you know, to do it really well. And I think that's where their failing is on the show, is that the week-to-week stories, which they've said that they're trying to do a week-to-week type of thing, that the ongoing mystery, you know what I mean, isn't going to overtake the show and you have to know what's going on in order to watch it. Unfortunately, what I think that means is that they need to get better at their week-to-week. They need to make their week-to-weeks more interesting and more engaging than they've mm-hmm. made them, or make their characters more interesting and engaging. I think that both Peter and Walter are pretty interesting. I think that right now Olivia is not quite as interesting.
Yeah.
And they need to work on that. But I still really like the show. It's interesting to me because I've been watching the comments about this week's episode, and I kind of get where the comments are coming from, but I also, like, I still like it. I like the promise that it has, and I'm not quite ready to give up on it mm-hmm. yet. It's one of those things where people bitch about how networks never give shows enough time, but then people also never give shows enough time either, if you ask my opinion.
Well, I think that's true too. I just thought it was an interesting statement, and that was the first thought that when I was sitting there watching it was like, he's talking like to me or us more than he's like talking to her. That was just I just thought it was interesting, but then on the other hand, I think that the problem I may have with the show is not so much that there's always more questions than answers, but that I don't particularly care about the questions. And
what I like about his quote,
or whether we get answers, because they don't, a lot of them don't necessarily interest me. Maybe. I don't know. I don't know if that's the case yet, but that could be one of the reasons why Fringe hasn't really hooked me. Although I keep watching it, sort of hoping that it will.
Well, since I haven't been watching, the only thing that really stuck in my head when I was listening to that quote that you read was the line, "so damn good," because it's the name of one of my brother's band's songs.
Okay, Emery.
Yeah, the only thing that's been happening this whole time is that. Like, I've just been hearing Last Call for Moonshine in my head.
Nice.
So maybe that's good, so I haven't been spoiled.
That's what she'll be remembering when she watches the episode. Oh, I remember this. Yeah. The song. Exactly. All right, so I think we've both had our say on that.
Yeah. I think Fringe is good. Fringe is good. I think we're good for Tuesday, right?
Yes, because I have not watched The Mentalist and I refuse to be spoiled.
Refuse to spoil Ray, right.
You haven't watched it either.
I haven't watched it either, but I was just saying, you were adamantly against being spoiled.
This is true.
Wednesday. I don't care about Wednesday until Pushing Daisies comes back next week. But does anybody else have anything they want to talk about?
Not really. I mean, I thought Bones was funny. Oh, I guess we could talk about Brendan Fair as David Boreanaz's brother, which I didn't quite buy.
Yeah, I didn't buy it either.
I mean, I liked it. I liked the story. Don't get me wrong. I just don't buy the two of them as brothers.
No, they don't. Yeah. No, I agree.
And then Life, which I enjoyed. But that was it.
Yeah. Other than to say that I like it, I don't have anything else either.
I just really liked Bones. It had an interesting – the story was, you could take or leave the case of the week. but actually
when
good.
Shows do that, when they have more like character building and they talk more about the characters, you don't need to worry about the case. You just need to worry about your favorite people.
Yeah. Well, a lot of times on Bones, you don't really need to worry about the case because it's more, it's the case is just the interaction for the rest of the characters to interact. And what's fun about the show is their interactions. But this one actually had where all those interactions had an interesting arc and, you know, and sort of character. Yeah. Like you said, character building or, you know, giving you more information about a backstory of the major character. And,
which I like.
And it was really good.
It was very good. Okay. I really quickly, I'm sorry, Amory. I know you want to move on to Thursday, but I just wanted to bring up, Jason, were you the one that bitched about on Life it being about the day after Thanksgiving?
No, that wasn't him.
No, that was, all right. That was our Canadian friend.
Daniel from the TVaddict.com. Little plug for Daniel.
Correct.
Yeah, I just wanted to say about it. It was because they doubled up on it at the beginning of the season, but I also thought it was appropriate because it's November and it's the... It wasn't a Christmas episode. It was just the day after. I mean, it'll be bad when we start hitting.
I hadn't watched it. I saw it across Twitter, and I responded back. I said, "Isn't it the day after Thanksgiving? Not necessarily Christmas."
Black Friday,
right?
Black Friday. Yeah. I'm getting up at 4 a.m. on Black Friday to go shopping.
Amory,
little piece of info for everybody.
Thank you. I already knew about that.
I don't know.
Well, now that you mentioned that was of Life. There were two things that bothered me on Life. One is the way that it gets edited, and so that the two stories seem completely separate, and it takes you out of it where you lose track of like what day it is or when it is, when he's pick somebody up here, and then all of a sudden he's standing in front of the wall, and then he's at some other event. Those type of things sort of bother me. But about this episode specifically, was they had gone into a mall. And they were all there looking at this dead body there. And then it was just then that they realized that it was the biggest shopping day of the – I mean, how did they come in? Did they not notice that the parking lots were full and stuff like that when they showed up? That really bothered me just story-wise. And then later they posited the possibility of could somebody have been – You know, at least they said that somebody couldn't have been drug out to a car because somebody would have seen him. But it was just kind of weird to me that they were all there and realized that this was the biggest shopping day of the year until they went running to try and keep the doors from being open.
I didn't even notice that. I was just too busy looking at Charlie. That's how I watch TV, folks.
All right. I have comments, but I'm going to keep them so you can move on to Thursday. Sorry.
Yes, because we need to get to Thursday because I have to bitch and moan about something. Can I say bitch and moan?
Sure. You just said
it. Okay, well, I said it now. Twice. Anyway, I watched everything on Thursday night, basically, and I just want to talk for a minute about Grey's Anatomy and where they're going. Because I thought for sure that they were back on track this season. Because I really liked the premiere. I kind of liked what they've been doing. And then they start bringing back dead people. Okay, in corporeal
dead
form.
People.
Okay, he's touchable. Which, okay, I don't mind that because I love me some Jeffrey Dean Morgan. Okay, love him.
But brains must be going crazy.
I know, brains. Brains, shout out to brains. I just got to say, I don't buy it. I don't see what they're doing. Other than, I think the only thing, well, who was the reader that said that? Was it Ikra or Ala that said that she'd be happy if they got rid of everybody Christina and Bailey? I'm kind of going that way. If they got rid of everybody but Christina, Bailey, and Owen Hunt, I'd be okay. Or maybe if they brought Jeffrey Dean Morgan back as an evil twin. Because then it would make sense.
It wouldn't make sense because he's been talking to her as if he knows her. And the evil twin wouldn't know her.
Ghosts. Okay. Ghosts?
I'm not saying that the ghosts make sense either. I'm saying that it wouldn't make sense for an evil twin.
As a ghost hunter, I do believe in ghosts. Okay?
Okay.
But as a watcher of Grey's Anatomy that is not a supernatural, there is no reason there should be ghosts on this show. Unless Izzy's going through some kind of crisis of medical
of what?
Whatever. That's what Jody suggested.
Just Jody from Canada, shout out, suggested that she thinks she has a tumor. And that's what it's going to be. And that's causing her delusions, basically. Which I've seen on other shows that, you know, when you have a tumor but wouldn't have to be in your brain, a tumor in your brain causing the problem.
Yes. And also, how does a tumor make you have sex with a ghost? I'm just saying.
Okay, she didn't. All right, I don't know where the jump is to the sex. They didn't have sex.
The previews. The previews.
Okay, I didn't watch the previews.
Did I spoil you?
No. I had to watch. Remember, my TV was crappy, so I had to watch everything online, so I didn't get to see previews. But even still, that's still a delusion. Like, that's still something she wants to happen, so she would imagine it happening and believe that it's happening. I have a little bit of problem with the show, like, displaying it as though it's happening. Like, what happens if Karev walks into the room? What's she doing?
Yeah, exactly.
That's what I picture. Like, what is she
doing? That's what you want to see.
That's what you want to see. It's not what I want to see. I'm just saying.
No, I'm just saying that's what you want to see. What, since you already know that nobody else but her can see whatever she's seen.
Right. What's when exactly you see happening? This,
when you see kissing and stuff like that start taking place, you actually want to see somebody else walk in and see it from their perspective.
Yeah.
Just to see what it looks like.
And another thing, Shonda Rhimes, when asked last season or at the beginning of this season, like, what was in store for everybody, because there was all these rumors of Katherine Heigl leaving, she said, Izzy will have a great love story. So immediately everybody thinks, oh, Izzy and Alex, they're going to be this great love story because they are back together. They're going steady or whatever. But Shonda comes out today and says that the great love story is Izzy and Dead Denny.
Huh. I have nothing to say to that. I don't know.
Dead Denny needs to die. That's what I...
Dead Denny needs to stay dead. As much as I love JDM, he should be on something else as like a main guy. But no.
I will say this. I have not seen probably the first season and a half of the show. So I do not have the problem with Denny that everybody else has with him. I don't really care, except that I do wonder where they're, like, how are they going to make the story believable? It either has to be that she has a tumor, or really, I don't know what else it could be, that she's crazy is the only other thing.
Yeah, that she's having a mental breakdown.
Which would be sad for Izzy if she really was having a mental breakdown. Although it wouldn't surprise me that the writers would do that to Michael.
I think it'd be sad for Alex, because then it means that he just attracts the crazies.
Yeah, exactly.
That's true.
And other than complaining about Dead Denny and Izzy, I love Owen Hunt, and I loved Christina and Mark rallying around Callie in the operating room. But that's really all I have to say. I didn't hate Melissa George as much as I thought I would, because I hated her on Alias. Hated her with a blinding rage. And Mary McDonnell really didn't do much for me.
Yeah, she didn't do much for me either.
I liked Mary McDonnell. I sort of liked the character a little bit. Except what I didn't like was, I think in some respects, the chief is like the worst chief ever. What chief would be trying to bring somebody on board like that and wouldn't talk to anybody until right before that person is going to arrive, and then would have no information other than she's a little different or a little off? I'm like, you're telling me that this person is like one of the best in the field and nobody knows that she has Asperger's syndrome? You wouldn't know that? Wouldn't pass on to Bailey and to the other people, you know, that a little more on what to expect, I think.
Especially in a hospital like this, where there's
it's not so much that he's like a bad, I mean, it is, it, he's, it makes him out to be like a really bad chief of the hospital. But to me, it made it more, it was like the writers did it because they needed this part of the storyline with Bailey to be able to do some of the things that she did. And then for it to have this reveal at the end and to create this conflict. And so it bugs me when things are sort of get written in that are dumb just to create something that, and the way it plays out. And you're like, but that makes no sense. That seems only done just so that you could have that last scene. And I'm like, how would somebody not know or give, you know, more warning to trying to bring somebody on?
I feel like I could talk forever about Grey's Anatomy, but I do want to say one other thing about a different show. So I do want to move on.
Wait. I just want to say one thing about Grey's related to that, like it being a horrible hospital. The thing for me, like the beginning of the season, they said that they were going, like they started out like they were going to like reform, if that's the right way to put it. You know, like they talked about making it a better teaching hospital, whatever. So naturally they've brought that to my attention, and just like the teaching is so bad. Like, every part of Grey's is bad at the moment. Like, the chief being like
the interns are teaching themselves down in the basement by cutting on themselves. I mean, that's bad teaching.
Well, yeah, just like, but even still, like, Christina, who I like, is not teaching. Like, she complained that Han wasn't teaching her or letting her do things so that she couldn't learn. And she's just doing the exact same thing to her residents. Like, she's not letting them do anything, so they have to find other means of teaching themselves.
Right.
It's just also, like, fucked up. Excuse my language.
Well, I thought that was going to be, I thought that was sort of an interesting storyline that they were sort of pursuing. And that maybe that sooner or later there was going to be some realization on Christina's part that she needs to do herself what she complains that others, you know, have not been doing. But
yeah, well, I'm interested to see how it plays out maybe next week in the next episode.
There was something in there a little bit, but it's of where it's been pointed out to her. I mean, it's been explicitly pointed out to the character, I think, in past episodes. But yet it still carries on here that the, you know, that she's not teaching any of them anything.
Mm-hmm. All right, Amory, move on now.
All right. We're done with Grey's because we can go on forever. But I just want to say one thing about The Office and then we can wrap up our prime time.
It doesn't the episode because I haven't seen it yet.
Okay, I won't spoil anything. I'll just say that I like when they make Michael human.
Really?
That's all I'll say.
I don't want to say anything at all except that do you know the premise at least, Jason? Like, what do you know about the episode?
Well, just that the main part of it is that he gets sent to
to Canada. That's all I wanted to know, if you know if he goes on a trip. I cannot stand when Michael is not in the office. Because I've told you guys this before, that I over-empathize. Like, I get, like, I'm not sympathetic, but I emphasize with characters. So, like, Michael being out of the office always freaks me out because of everybody in the office at least understands how Michael exists and how he is. So the minute he's outside the office, I get like all kinds of embarrassed for him for just the way, you know what I mean? For him being him outside the office and being away from people that know him.
Right.
So this was a hard episode for me to watch, therefore, because he was outside the office for almost all of it. So.
All right. I think that brings us to the end of our primetime wrap up.
We do. I just have to say one thing about Supernatural.
Ray. Oh, yeah. You did want to say something about Supernatural.
It's nothing big, I promise you. I just have to say that I am a Dean and Jensen girl till the end, but oh my God, Jared, that man has some guns on him.
Does he? Oh my God, I have to watch. I haven't
watched
it yet.
That's all I have to say. He is a fucking hottie. Excuse my language yet again.
Hey, we already went. This is not a clean episode anymore. Forget it.
Exactly. He's that hot, I have to cuss because he's that hot.
All right. So now we're really at the end of our primetime wrap up. We'll take it to a little break and we'll come back and end the episode.
So we have a little bit more listener feedback this week, and the first is Ala, who we already heard from in our topic of the week. However, she did have some comments for last week's topic, and I wanted to make sure that I read them for you. From her email, she said that, "I think CBS may be even worse than Fox in not giving their shows a chance by not trusting their showrunners. Case in point, The X-List was cut after its showrunner quit because of too much interference from the network." And the shows that she misses the most are Sports Night and Studio 60, as well as Journeyman, although she is very happy to see Kevin McKidd on Grey's. And she did want to point out to us that our wish for Grey's did come true because Brooke Smith has made her last appearance on the show because ABC got cold feet about the lesbian relationship and Erica's character in general. Of course, we agree with her that unfortunately the character did not get a satisfying wrap-up, and even though we maybe didn't like Erica, or to be more accurate, Amory didn't like Erica, I think we all agree that we would have preferred a better wrap-up for the character. Callie deserved it as well as Brooke Smith. I don't know what's going on there behind the scenes. It seems a little odd to me, but we agree, Ala, with you. Okay, so that was Ala's contribution. And then again, eCrew wrote in as well. Just wanted to thank both of them again for writing in. And if you cannot call and leave us a message, please feel free to write us an email. And then, of course, we have Scooter McGavin, who had some comments about last week's topic as well.
Hello, my name is Scooter McGavin, and I just wanted to call in to give my two cents on a show that was gone before its time. I have to say, the most erroneous premature cancellation ever in the history of the world was Wonder Falls. When the show came on, I too, was an aimless graduate with a job that had absolutely nothing to do with the degree, that was just kind of collecting dust on a shelf somewhere. So, in fact, one of the reasons why I really don't hold Pushing Daisies as high regard as some people is that it just hasn't lived up to the expectations of Wonderfalls to me. And the show also lands on my number one reason why, number one reason why I no longer watch anything on Fox, which is a pretty extensive list in itself. Now, if you excuse me, I need to get some bed rest because I'm becoming speechless and breathless because it seems like I've been hit with that love bug that's been going around. Later.
Well, Scooter, we hope that you are feeling better and have recovered from your love bug. And of course, we all agree that Wonderfalls was killed long before its time and that it should still be on the air as far as we're concerned. Everybody else, we hope that you will give us a call and tell us what you're thinking about TV. You can call us at 213-985-3176, or you can email us by going to tvtimes3.com and using our contact form.
Please hang up and try again.
All right, so I guess that wraps us up for this week. We hope you enjoyed our fall TV status report as well as our primetime wrap-up. Next week, we don't know what we're talking about yet. So if you have a suggestion for what we should talk about, please give us a call at 213-985-3176. Or you can email us from our website at tvtimes3.com. Spell it all out. The contact button at the top of the page will take you to a contact form. Let us know what you think we should talk about next week. Our music, once again, is provided by the Asylum Street Spankers. It is their TV party song from their Mercurial title, put out by Yellow Dog Records. All can be got on iodapromonet.com. And we're wrapped up. Let's go.
Let's go. Bye.
Bye.
Hi.
Second time.
You didn't say anything. You could have just said so. You didn't have to hang up on
me. I didn't hang up.
Yeah.
Weird.
I heard it go beep beep. And I was like, hello? Where'd everybody go?